Welcome to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast with your host, Audrey McLaughlin.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 45 of the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Audrey. Today we're talking about omega-3s for horses. You know, it's been a hot topic for a while, and we're going to talk today about the benefits of omega-3s for your horse and how is the best way to give them, because there's kind of a us and them battle between giving horses fish oil and fish oil products and helping them to achieve that omega-3 balance through a natural, healthy diet. So before we jump into that, quick note, today's show is sponsored by Paddock Blade. Paddock Blade has been making paddock cleaning easy since 2016. It is the fastest, quickest, and easiest way to keep your pasture, your paddock poo-free, your horses happy and healthy, and keep fecal egg counts low. Keep worm flies at bay. So Paddock Blade is really cautious in their manufacturing process. They ensure premium quality by manufacturing their product locally across the world, which is so cool. They back their word with a lifetime warranty. For example, if you are in Texas and you order a paddock blade, then your paddock blade is made in Texas, which I think is so cool. Paddock Blade saves you about 3 to 5 hours a week, 6 to 10 days a year, and that gives you more time to do the things you love. The reason why I like it, aside from the time savings, is because it saves you money at the vet, right? It saves you money on supplements. It saves you money in care for your horse because you are keeping their area much, much cleaner for them. So if you search Paddock Blade today, use code EQM100, you get $100 off free shipping. That's for a limited time only. Make sure you check the show notes for the link to Paddock Blade and the link to all the things that we talk about in the show today. Let's dive in. Like I said, omega-3s for horses has been a hot topic for conversation for a while. The benefits of omega-3 for horses are unmatched, right? We know that omega-3s are good for our horses. So we're going to talk today about how the best way to get those into your horse works and why we would choose that best way. Now, some companies, some people are now giving fish oil to their horses. It's been going on for a while, so I don't want to make that sound like it's something new. But a lot of people will say, well, Icelandic people do it. Or horses can't convert ALA to DHA and EPA, so we have to give them the DHA and EPA directly. Others are saying flax is just plenty, so who is correct? As you can probably imagine, the topic is far more nuanced than yes to fish oils or no, never fish oils. And most of the people that are saying yes to fish oils forever have what I like to call outside of the onion knowledge. And, you know, if I'm being completely honest, everyone, including myself, has outside of the onion knowledge to some extent, right? We can always go deeper, learn more, all of those things. But what I mean is like real outside of the onion knowledge. They really have to peel back and go deeper to understand what they're talking about. Oftentimes they're parroting, sometimes comically, obviously, an article or an author that is selling them a supplement. So let's dive in. Let's talk about benefits of omega-3s for horses, because those really can't be argued. We know that having an appropriate omega-3 to omega-6 ratio for horses improves skin and coat quality, improves joint health, brain health, eye tissue, reduces overall inflammation, aids in weight management, blood sugar, and insulin regulation. It's supportive, again, for joint health. It improves respiratory health, really all the things, right? So when I find horse owners reaching for omega-3s, it's most often because of a deficit in one of those areas. And it's usually because they currently or have had a horse that for the majority of that horse's life, whether it was at their own hands or at previous owner's hands, has had one or more of the following, like limited access to feed, right? So not having forage available 24 hours a day, overfeeding. Restricted turnout, overfeeding concentrated feeds, supplements, and treats, things like grains, very high in non-structural carbohydrates. They're not well tolerated by horses long-term. They're not needed by horses. They lead to disease. Underfeeding period, right? Not just forage, but overall underfeeding. And that's just a limited take. So that's what most of the time something falls into one of those categories or similar. And because of those practices for the length of the horse's life, for the mare that foaled them, for the previous owners, whatever it might be, the horse is now suffering the effects of that practice. And those effects of that practice are things like obesity, equine metabolic disease, arthritis, chronic pain, chronic lameness, chronic illness, poor performance, insulin resistance, starvation, despite consuming enough food, meaning they can't put the nutrition to use in their body, colic, ulcers, laminitis, the list goes on and on and on. So when we have those problems, we start searching for ways to fix it. And so one of the things that comes up frequently is supplemental omega-3 nutrition to combat what has essentially been really high levels of omega-6 inflammatory fats that the horse has been getting prior to this, and sometimes still getting through this. So omega-3s, you might be wondering, okay, so like omega-3, omega-6, omega-9, what's all that? Omega-3 fatty acids are a particular type of fat, right? Hence the name fatty acid. Omega-3 is just the chemical structure of the fat. So it's a double bond in a specific location inside the fat molecule, right? You can think of omega-3s as the anti-inflammatory fats versus omega-6s that are the inflammatory fats. Now, quick side note on omega-6s, it's not the focus of what we're talking about today, but omega-6s are important to have. They just need to be at the appropriate ratio. So inflammation gets a really bad rep because it becomes chronic and it causes health problems, but inflammation is also what is responsible for when your horse cuts their hide and that cut heals. Inflammation is what does that. So we can't be completely non-inflammatory. Otherwise, your blood won't clot, right? You can't heal a wound. The horse can't heal a fracture, God forbid they have one, you know, anything like that. So, or even recover appropriately from exercise. Inflammation is what causes that. So back to omega-3s. Omega-3s are really high in fluidity, and that's one of their benefits, one of their main functions. They are a structural part of the cell membrane of every cell in the horse's body. And so that's one of the reasons why improving and increasing the quality and quantity of omega-3s has so many benefits for horses. Now, another side note, omega-3s are what is called essential in the horse's diet. You might have heard me talk about essential and non-essential amino acids before. Amino acids are proteins. Same thing, you have essential fats. And essential means the horse has to eat it in order to get it. They can't make it in their body, right? So how do horses get omega-3s? Well, they take in ALA and they convert it to EPA and DHA. You can think of ALA like the building block, and then EPA and DHA are the products at the end of the processing cycle that are the things that work. They're the functioning end products. Now, where horse owners go wrong is that they don't feed diets that are naturally high enough in ALA for the horse to enjoy the benefits of its anti-inflammatory effects, enjoy the benefits of not having a lot of an overload of inflammation. You've probably heard me say before that you can't out-supplement bad nutrition. Well, this is a prime example. Same thing here. You can't out-supplement bad nutrition for a horse. You can't out-supplement too much omega-6. You can't out-supplement concentrated feeds unless you move outside of a species-appropriate diet and give a horse something like fish oil and give the horse something like an anti-inflammatory medication, right? Prevacox, Equiox, Bute, Vanamine, all of those things on a regular basis, right? I'm not talking about urgent use of those things. So then, you know, where do horses get ALA? Where do they get omega-3 anti-inflammatory acids? Number one, they get it from forage. Fresh pasture is rich in ALA. Flax is a really good source of ALA. Chia is another good source of ALA. In a pinch, you know, kind of my first reach for getting a horse more omega-3s without the horse having to do the work of breaking down the ALA into DHA and EPA. And I mean, internal work, like they're not working. Then an algae source might be beneficial, like a microalgae. Those provide higher levels of DHA. And it's more species appropriate because it's a plant food than giving fish. We don't give fish oil to horses because it's not evolutionarily or species appropriate. And I will die on this hill. I don't care what supplement company or feed company told you, what published article says, or what even a funded study says otherwise. Fish oil is not appropriate for horses long term. And then the other day, I got a pushback yesterday, I think it was, or day before yesterday, I got a pushback that was, well, Icelandic people feed their horses fish. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Icelandic people do with their horses? They use them as meat for slaughter, slaughter for meat. I said that backwards, right? Not to mention, there are so many other confounding practices that occurred in situations where there was just absolutely no food available in Iceland. And it's not done often or anymore, except for in the cases where those horses are bred and raised for slaughter. Since modern shipping and transportation of goods have allowed species appropriate diets to be fed to those horses in Iceland. So that's not a thing. But even if it is a thing, there are so many confounding factors. If you can find somebody in Iceland that is feeding their horse or horses with some longevity fish, and the way they did, they didn't feed them actual fish. Horses wouldn't eat actual fish. It was, they dry the fish, grind it into a powder and feed it. Then there are so many other confounding factors for Iceland that it just doesn't have any viable comparison to Western horse keeping, period. See, horses are herbivores, right? When humans or other meat eaters digest meat, it's done by enzymes and acids in the stomach, right? That's where protein digestion happens. The protein in plants are digested some in the stomach, but mainly digested in the cecum. That's where the bacteria exists to help eat it up, right? So if you really study a horse's digestive system, the stomach is a fraction of the combined size of its cecum and intestines. The stomach isn't significant enough to warrant meat products, right? So that's just, it's not saying that that is the reason that a horse can't digest fish oil, because they can, but that is a red flag that we should be looking elsewhere to get our horses the anti-inflammatory omega-3s that we need. Not to mention, some fish oils have contaminants like lead and mercury, which are not often disclosed on the product label. They're not often disclosed on the product label for humans. So you're kidding yourself if you are paying any reasonable amount of money for fish oil with an equine label on it, period. Right? So as I've mentioned, I've a couple of times through this podcast, I've said things like, well, maybe we could do omega-3s in a way from fish that is beneficial for horses, right? So when is a non-species appropriate omega-3 okay? So when it's okay is when your option currently for that horse, again, this is not long-term for the rest of the horse's life, but in an acute situation, currently for that horse, your option is, I can either give this horse Bute for the next 6 months, Prevacox, Equiox for the next 6 months, or I can use something that has some fish oil in it, or a lot of fish oil in it, even the, like the green-lipped mussel, which is really helpful for pain. I can use something like that for now, right? While I'm improving all the things that I mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, I'm getting rid of the concentrated feed products. I'm improving my horse's digestion. I am making sure that I'm not overfeeding. I'm making sure that my supplements and treats are grain-free and they're not high in non-structural carbohydrates. I'm making sure that I am taking care of all those things. Those things take time. And so sometimes increasing your omega-3 artificially, again, my suggestion would be to use plant omegas first, try that first, and then only think of omega-3s from fish oil as a medication more than a supplement, meaning it's something that you do for a short period of time, that you do for a specific reason, and you have a targeted goal for starting and stopping that therapy. So if your horse is on concentrated feed products, has no access to pasture, doesn't get forage, is grain-based for any portion of their diet, then, you know, maybe giving them an omega-3 is fine. I'm probably not going to change your mind, and that's okay. But if you are forage diet, I don't mean forage-based, if you are a foraged feeding horse person, then you don't need to supplement fish oil omega-3s because your horse is eating a balanced, species-appropriate omega-3 to omega-6 ratio diet. Okay? Does that make sense? So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that helps put it into perspective on what we're talking about when we talk about not species appropriate for horses. And there are lots of things that we do as modern horse keepers that are not species appropriate as far as feeding our horses. The key to understand, and what I wish more people understood, is that it's not a Band-Aid. So when you're giving a fish oil for inflammation, that's just a Band-Aid, right? You're not actually solving anything. You're sweeping it under the rug. You're hiding it. And it's going to come back in a different body system. It's going to come back in a way where eventually that fish oil is not going to continue to do the trick. It's going to come back in a way once we get more of a long-term understanding of what happens when you feed species inappropriate things. And we know, you know, like when you feed species inappropriate things, you end up with malnourishment. Well, we don't know because technology is relatively new for these areas that we don't know what happens when you isolate things that are species inappropriate and give it in a high dose, right? So I encourage you to treat it more like a medicinal. Again, if you have a horse that was injured, God forbid, and is going to be on stall rest or, you know, is going to require Equiox for the next month, 6 months, year, years, then looking for something like a fish oil supplementation for horses that is heavy metal free, that is well done. Again, I would still prefer other methods like maybe green lipped muscle. And I'll have a link for a company that does that in case you do have a horse that's on injured reserve, right? I would consider doing something more species appropriate and or having a very targeted start and end date. We have to remember that our biology is fast, our minds are fast, putting together the information is fast, but science to catch up and prove it is very, very slow. So know that by the time we know specifically and we have studies to show specifically, assuming somebody can fund them, that fish oil is not good for horses, it will likely be too late for those who've been giving their horses fish oils for months and years on end. So I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, Debbie Doomsday. Know that your horse can absolutely convert ALA, which is what you find in forage diets, to DHA and EPA. Those that are saying that they can't are getting that information from horses on a conventional diet that aren't getting enough ALA in their diet for the conversion to happen. Okay, that's all. I'll get off my soapbox. Hopefully I'll see you next week on the next episode. Make sure you check links in the show notes for all the information that you need. This is April 2nd. We have our monthly class coming up this month. It will be on laminitis, spring diets. So hope to see you there. That registration will be available very soon. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. We'll catch you in the next episode.